Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. I pray that everybody's doing well today. Pastor has such an awesome sermon planned for today. The Lord has been dealing with him like he does every week, in the middle of the night and you know, really speaking to him about the word that he's going to deliver. Now, today, I kind of see it a little different. I kind of see more of a prophetic watchman anointing on Pastor today. So I pray in the name of Jesus that all of our spiritual ears are open to hear what the Lord is saying to us today in this vital hour. Because we know, as we've been seeing on the news, how everything is so crazy right now. You know, the government is shut down. We're in the fourth quarter, the war in the Middle East, trying to do a peace plan, yada, yada. You know, so much. And with all the pestilences, it's more than one. With all of these things going on out there, we need to hear an on-time word is the best food we could be eating right now, you know. And so Pastor has that today, and I'm very excited. I can't wait to hear it because I know it's what I need, you know. And I just want to talk to you about a few housekeeping things. One is that the ministry with the My Health Matters is doing really great. We have a team of people that work out together every week. And we're reading a book about what the Bible talks about food, you know, which is important. We're kind of changing our minds, you know, from the worldly stinking thinking of how to take care of our temple, you know, and lining it up with the word. Because we do not want any idols there having to do with sugar or, you know, anything like that that so easily besets us. You know, we want to be able to be all that God has called us to be. And so I'm really thankful for us going forward in that. And we're still doing the prayer calls and everything. We did stop the Wednesday night church because there wasn't enough interest, but that's okay. I know everybody's busy right now. And you know, so everything's going good. And I pray everything's going good with you guys. We will open up the prayer lines afterwards, after church this morning. For you guys that did call in, if you need prayer for anything, you know, we're there for you. So let's go ahead and pray. And I've got a few songs because Pastor's sermon today is called Beware Ye. Beware Ye of the Thorns, the Thistles, and the Tares. So I can't wait to get into it. All right, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for the word that you're going to release today. And Lord, I just pray over this worship service, Lord. We just dedicate it to you, Lord, and I pray that you anoint the singing. And Lord, that you would be high and lifted up, because your word says that when we lift up your name, Lord, that you will draw all men unto you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we go. This first song we're going to sing is called Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, oh, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Isn't this beautiful? This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of Jesus now burst on my sight. Notice I changed that word from rapture to Jesus. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I'm going to stop the recording and tell you people that's on here something. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Come on, let's all sing this together. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. All right, I just want to sing one more song. This one's called The Old Rugged Cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where my dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I remember sitting there with that 101-year-old woman, you know, as she's on her deathbed. And I'd be holding her. We'd be sitting on the couch and we'd look out her window. This was in North Dakota after I left the White House. And we was looking out the window in the snow, you know, and these little bluebirds would be out there flying around and I'd be singing that song to her. She had dementia. But when I sang that song, she would sing. Because worshiping the Lord transcends dementia. It brought it back to her. You know, she used to love me singing because it made bring it all back. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I'm thinking about that old woman. She's up there right now getting her crown, isn't she? Dancing on the streets of glory, being young, healed, delivered. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So we'll cherish that old rugged cross till our trophies at last we lay down. I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it Lord, we just love you this morning. We worship and praise you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the time that I had with that woman while she was on the earth, because I know, Lord, that she is on the streets of gold right now. And Lord, that's what we live for, is that eternal hope, not the temporary, what we see in the earth today, but the eternal hope of glory with you, Lord. So this morning we worship and praise your holy name, Lord. And we just pray for Pastor today, right now. Everybody stretch your hands. Lord, we just pray for Pastor that you anoint him, Lord, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. Thank you for anointing him for such a time as this, Lord. Just speak into this end time scenario, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very good. You got the floor, sir.
All right. Thank you for them beautiful songs. And I guess I just want to, you know, I guess I should say off air, June talked about, you know, the prayer that she prayed over this young man, and look what God did. The power of prayer, you know, and sincerity from the heart, you know. And we laid in bed this morning talking about that when she told me, and, you know, and I can look at a couple people I know like that. And, you know, it just breaks our hearts, because we all know people who are, you know, have this mentality is just, you know what I'm talking about, and the beast towers and all this, that just attacking the mind, you know, it's so serious. So we just, like I say, after service we'll do some prayer time, but it's really dear to our heart. We need to be praying for our children, our grandchildren. Amen. And actually, the beginning of this week, I was going to start studying about this one message, but that night, I guess it would have been Monday night, I got this word, I guess, come into my spirit, and I'm like, okay. And then then in the afternoon, boom, it popped up again, and I'm like, okay. And so I thought, I better read on it. And so I started reading and studying a little bit. And it's about the parable of the wheat and the tares, Matthew 13. So we can turn there already, verses 24 through 30. But, you know, I right away you think, yeah, you know, we're in that season. You know, God's separating the wheat from the tares, you know. But what does that really mean? And who are the wheat and who are the tares, you know, and stuff. And so as I started reading and digging around, it makes a whole new meaning to things. For me, anyway, especially in the fact of what we're seeing now, you know, in the media, politics, religion, you know, music industry, all around us. And so I just want to put this out there, that tares, the wheat and the tares, there's a long list of tares, okay? And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And so that's why I guess we're saying beware. You know, this is a warning. This is out there. We see it all around us, man. Last night, June, you know, we're sitting in the living room and she turned it to YouTube and start going through some music stuff and pointing out things to me. And, you know, the Christian music industry is full of tares. The political, religious, all the systems of the world are full of tares. Anyway, just wanted to put that out there. The list is long. And so Let's just read this quick. Matthew 13, starting with verse, 24. Another parable. Now, I guess I also want to put out, you know, you have to read all of chapter 13, you know, because, and I read it, but I didn't dig. I mean, because there's just so much here. And the more you dig, the more, you know, even over here in the, you know, the Jesus uses the, you know, the parable of the leaven, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the sower. You know, there's all these parables, and it's, and to me, it's like one just goes into the other, and you can take stuff from one parable and you can see it in the other one, and vice versa, back and forth. And I'm just going to touch on that just a little bit, but you know, it's a big study if a guy really want to spend some time there. And so just to let you know that it's a lot. So, but we're going to just start here on verse 24, another parable, see, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared also the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And this just come to me, okay. You know, the field is the ways of the world. Well, I better just keep reading. He said unto them, the enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. You know, the tares refers to a type of weed, you know, that closely resembles the wheat, which was deliberately sown to harm the crops in the field. And again, these tares, there's a long list, and are understood to symbolize like unrepented unrighteousness, sinners or non-believers, while the wheat represents the righteous. The parable teaches that the unrepentant sinners, the wicked, the non-believers coexist with the righteous until the final harvest, you know, the end of the age, when God's angels, the reapers, will gather and separate the tares, the wicked, to be destroyed, while the wheat, the righteous, are preserved. You know, tares also represent the people of the world, but do not belong to God's kingdom. Similar to, let's say, false profession. They may profess Christ, but they're not living it. You know, and only Jesus, you know, we're not judging everybody, but, you know, only Jesus knows everybody's heart. The parable advises against forcibly separating the tares from the wheat. Let's say in a church or in society, as it is difficult sometimes to tell the difference and could be damaging to the wheat or to the righteous. You know, we have to let God sort them out. It emphasizes that God alone has the authority and the power to judge the wicked from the righteous at the time of the final harvest. Also, the parable shows that good and evil will exist side by side in the world until the end of the age. You know, and we can see that. I mean, just look at this thing with Charlie Kirk. Look at the thousands of people that are under the delusion of what's happening there. Tares and wheat look similar growing up together, but the tares are darnel, is what they call that. They look just like a wheat when they're small and growing up. You know, they're very similar, while the young, but very harmful, has seeds of more destruction. You know, those little seeds, when they grow up, will turn into, you know, will be very destructive. The parable teaches that the enemy secretly sowed among the wheat, and they are allowed to grow together. Allowed to grow together until the harvest, when it can be separated and burned. But the true wheat will be gathered and saved. Hallelujah. You know, now spiritually, tares can represent hypocritical individuals who infiltrate the community of believers, posing as true followers, but bearing no real spiritual fruit, and will be separated from the genuine believers at the time of judgment. Wheat tares don't produce good grain. You know, they grow up like wheat, but they don't produce good grain. They are a useless, invasive weed that can even spread and wrap around the good grain plants and will interfere with the growth and strength of good grain, of good seed. Matthew 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Here Gene's explaining the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that receiveth seed by the wayside. So the wicked one, you know, well, let's just keep reading. But he that receiveth the seed into stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. You know, the word didn't take root. Wasn't established very good. 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, and some 60, some 30. You know, the thorns and the thistles are symbolic of false prophets. Okay. I want to turn to my... Bible dictionary here. Under thorns, and this was interesting. I can find it here. Thorns. And I'm not going to read the first part of it. You know, it gives a little bit about the Hebrew and the Greek and all that. You know, it's a thorn, a thistle. You know, it's a in the briar. But figuratively, okay, a grieving thorn, Ezekiel 28, verse 24. And I'm not going to go to these scriptures, but should be rendered a smarting sting. Figuratively of the hurts of heathenism. The most upright is sharper than the thorn hedge. Micah 7:4 refers to the corruption of a nation, which was so great that even the most upright injured all who came in contact with him. This is some interesting stuff, huh? In Job 5:5, taking it even out of the thorns means that even a thorny hedge does not prevent them from taking the food of the orphan, from want of energy. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns. You know, and I guess I want to remind everybody to keep thinking this, because, you know, we are a three-part being, a spirit and a soul and a body, you know, so we're spiritual and we're physical beings. So all this can be looked at spiritually and physically. Proverbs 15:19, I guess that was the one I just read. Full of almost insurmountable obstacles. To be overgrown with thorns is figuratively figure of desolation. Proverbs 24:31. The crackling of thorns under a pot. Ecclesiastes 7:6 is that to which the laughter of fools is compared. The wicked are often compared to thorns, 2 Samuel 23:6. You know, in Nehemiah 1:10, dried cow dung was the common fuel in Palestine. Its slowness in burning makes the quickness of a fire of thorns the most graphic, as an image of a sudden end of fools. Psalm 118:12. Thorns and thistles are symbolic of false prophets. Matthew 7:16. So figuratively, thorns is kind of a lot of different things. And we have to keep that in mind. And that's like the tares. In Matthew 7, let's turn to Matthew 7. And I want to start with verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raven wolves. There it is. Beware of what? The tares, which come to you, what? Sheep's clothing. You know, the tares, they grow up all looking just like the wheat. But really, once they get big and get mature and they're already twisted around the good wheat, they're like raving wolves. They're hungry and they're going to devour and destroy. Ye shall know them by their fruits. What's the fruit of a tare when it grows up around that good wheat? You know, it's like a snare and it just strangles it. You know, they grow up and around the good wheat. and the seed of them will fall down and it'll be in the crop next year. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No, you don't. You gather them up to burn. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. You know, we have to beware. You know, behold, take heed. Beware of the false prophets, false teachers, all the deceitfulness of this world. You know, going back to verse 19. Let's see here. Let's go back to verse. Again, go back to Matthew 13. You know, it says, again, it says there, think here. Okay, I guess I did read that. I'm sorry. All right, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And let's just start with the verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 4. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thy abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of evil of your doings. You know, the fallow ground is plowed ground. They're getting it prepared for to plant, you know, to put the seed in. It's unseeded land. And sometimes they do it for a season or more. You know, plowing of the land without seeding it for a season in order to what? To destroy the weeds, to improve the soil, etc. You know, you don't plant your seed there yet. But I'm trying to, you know, verse 3 again. For thus saith the Lord to men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns. You know, so we're not to sow into bad soil, into whatever that may be, you know, a church, a political organization, or whatever. Sow not among the thorns, you know, sow not among the false prophets and teachers and whatever. Don't support them. circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your heart, you know. And it's interesting here. Where is this? Okay, that's in my next one. Yeah, circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Again, you know, take that covering off of your heart. Open up to the Lord. Let him do some, you know, some spiritual cleansing, you might say. Hear what the Lord has to, you know, to lead us and guide us. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I want to start with verse 12. I want to read this down to the end of the chapter. And this is, you know, right after Moses got the second tables of tablets, you know, of stone, you know, and he's presenting the tablets to him, and this is where it's an exhortation by Moses to the people. Okay. He's urging them and strongly advising them or warning them earnestly. Okay. And that's what I'm trying to do. Warn people, urge people, advise people, you know, take heed. Whoa, look, see what's going on here. So verse 12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Boy, we can break that one down. That last little bit, with all thy soul. Remember, we were talking about the soul last week or the week before. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Boy, there's a lot there. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. You know, it's beneficial. It's very beneficial in your life to take heed, to keep the commandments of the Lord, his statutes, you know. Because if you don't, it can cause serious, you know, the consequences are serious. It could go off, you know, to your children, your grandchildren, your friends, whatever. Verse 14, behold, the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. You know, he was pleased with the children. Verse 16 here, this verse is, I want you to pay attention. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. You know, take the covering off your heart again. Stop being stubborn, obstinate, you know, hard to control and to treat. You know, open up your ears, the ears of your heart, to hear the truth, because it's the truth that sets you free. Don't be ignorant. You know, hear now the word of the Lord. Take heed. That's what he's saying. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. he doth execute the judgment of the fatherless, the widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. Love thee therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And I want to stop there. Love ye therefore the stranger. You know, people you meet on the road, place of business, wherever. But I thought this was interesting, the next part of it. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. You know, we all, once before we were born again, we were strangers in the land of Egypt. In Egypt representing what? Maybe the ways of the world. You know, we were once like that, but now we're not. You know, we want to be pleasing to the Lord. We want to live righteously before the Lord. And so we wanted other people to see that in us. You know, the stranger. You know, that they see that in us, and they're going to want a little bit of what we have. Maybe a whole lot of what we have. You know, think we know somebody real well. We may have a good friend, but is a stranger because they don't know the Lord. You know, they may be a good person. You know, they may be a good friend and all that, but really they could be a stranger because they don't know the Lord. They're not walking in the way. You know, they're not walking on that narrow, hard path. They're still walking in the ways of the world, living in the ways of the world. And that reminds me, I got a call from a dear, dear friend I've known for many years. A really good friend of mine. A really soft-hearted guy. But, you know, he's never really... And he's a good guy, you know. But he's really lonely, lives by himself now. And you know how everybody kind of just stays to themselves. He's been calling me the last couple weeks and he's just lonely. And he mentioned he had some questions for me, you know, it was religious questions, you know, and this has been a couple, 2-3 weeks ago. Well, this week he's called me twice and I got to share some things about Jesus with him. And one of the things is I talked to him about the way, you know, and he goes to me, he says, yeah, it's kind of like the, you know, a line, you know, like the line in the sand, you know, we all have to step across that line. This side is the dark side. This side is the light side. This side is the way. This side is the wrong way. This is the narrow pathway. This is the wide pathway. And so I was kind of explaining that to him. You know, the way. This is the way to the old rugged cross. And why is it rugged? Because it's not easy. And when I told him that, he goes, boy, ain't that the truth. And again, this friend of mine is a very humble friend. And he's dealing with some past hurts and burdens. And unforgiveness, maybe. You know, he's a stranger to the way of the Lord. But he was very open. And I'm hoping... and praying that today he'll go to a church that I told him about. And I called the pastor too. So, you know, there's strangers out there. You may know them, but there could still be a stranger. Until they open up and they really from their heart. So we have to love them. You know, share the good news. Amen. Verse 10, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave. and swear by his name. You know, we have to cling closely to the Lord. He is thy praise. He is thy God. He hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thy eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of the heavens for multitude. Wow. You know, we go down into the land of Egypt, to the ways of the world. And we share Jesus. And hopefully we can find these people with burdens, these strangers. You know, we can bring them to the Lord. Amen, huh? You know, we have to, you know, this verse 16, let's jump back there. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. You know, we have to take that covering off our hearts. Stop being stubborn and obstinate. Let the Lord, you know, do something in us. Lead us and guide us. Amen. You know, a prophetic command of God to the people of Judah and to Jerusalem and to us today, urging them to prepare their hearts for true repentance. And there's that big word, repentance. You know, and I talked to my friend about that just a little bit, and he's like, yeah. You know, we have to acknowledge those things of our past. Acknowledge them to the Lord that he can, you know, if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, the Bible says if you don't forgive someone, there you can't be forgiven. So true repentance, you know, fallow ground, all the worldly distractions of sin. This is the farming imagery that to emphasize that just as a farmer must plow and till, prepare the land, prepare our hearts before planting, God's people must undergo an inner transformation, a spiritual plowing, you might say. You know, prepare our hearts, you know, and I don't know how long I've been saying this and thinking this to my own self and, you know, and telling other people, we have to prepare our hearts for what's to come. Because we can see pretty clearly some things, but there's some things we don't know that, you know, so we need to prepare our spiritual hearts, you know, so that hopefully, you know, to receive the truth of the God's word that's going to, you know, okay, open our eyes to see more clearly, to direct our paths, to share with other people so that God's word can be effectively, you know, effective, and that we can bear fruit rather than allowing sin to choke it out, you know, from some tear or thistle. All, you know, all the worldly stuff, you know, genuine spiritual change is needed. And must begin in the heart rather than the outward actions and ceremonies. You know? And that reminds me, going back to this. And this is just one thing, but it's just so prevalent when we watch it and we see all the stuff going on with about Charlie, you know, Charlie Kirk. Look at the ceremonies and the idolatry. It's just so sad. Amen. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 16. Starting with verse, let me think here, make sure I got this right. Oh, I'm in Corinthians. Well, we're going to get there too. My pages is all thin. I turn the page and I get about 5 pages. Romans 16. And verse 17. And this chapter 16 is a lot of, you know, personal, you know, personal greetings, okay? And, you know, he's saluting all these different people, you know, my beloved in the Lord and all that. But I want to get to verse 17. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." So he's telling them, his brethren, you know, his friends, his disciples, his, you know, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, you know. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." And that word simple, we could put innocent. Look at all these innocent people out here that don't see the light of truth. They're being deceived. They're walking in this big delusion, you know. Mark them. Take note. Look at this guy. Look at this woman. Look at this system, or this church, or this movement. "For your obedience," verse 19, "is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." And Lord, right now, I just want to pray that, Lord, you are the God of peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. Philippians 4:7. We can't even fathom your peace. And so, Father, I just ask that you would pour out your peace, that fruit of peace, Lord, that the spirit of peace. Because when we walk in peace, we walk this way or that way, we should be in peace. And when we're in peace, Lord, it says that shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And Lord, we thank you that peace that we walk in, we can just stomp the devil because we walk in peace. Lord, just pour out your peace right now upon people, that peace would guard over their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because if we walk not in peace, Lord, you know, the devil is going to take hold of us. He's going to direct our path. He's going to, you know, pinch us here and make us go over there or whatever. No, we want to walk in peace so that we can bruise Satan under our feet. So we thank you, Lord, for your peace. Pour out your peace upon each person that hears this message. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, false prophets, these teachers, these movements deceive people with smooth talk and flattery. They serve their own appetites, you know. They serve their own agenda, their own pocketbook, instead of leading people on the true path to the real Lord and Jesus Christ. You know, they're taking them to this other Jesus. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. You know, and this, and seems like I'm always, every week I'm in this chapter. It's pretty important. I don't know that I pick up a subject or something I'm reading and it always takes me back over here to these. It must be pretty important what Paul has to say, because he's warning about false leaders. You know, and when I come to this chapter, I thought, hey, you know, I just talked about this. Was it last week? But here it is. It's for this message too. 1 through 15 talks about, you know, Paul's warning about these false leaders. You know, verse 1, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, you know, in a little foolishness. Bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chastised virgin to Christ. Amen. Ooh. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, he's saying, be not deceived. You know, from all these simple things, the smooth talk, the flattery, and things that tickle your ears. You know, so that your mind should be corrupted in the simple facts, the truth about Jesus. You know, that could get you along that narrow path, and you know, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. You know, we'll have to endure, you know. We're hearing all these other gospels and these other whatever. We know it's not true. You know, we'll have sometimes have to grin and bear it. Oh no, are we listening to this again? For I suppose it was not wit behind the very chiefest apostles. I'm gonna stop there, and I wanna go to verse 14. For no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Reference there could be Galatians 1:8. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We can see that. And we just thank the Lord that he's our judge. You know, we don't take delight in seeing all this stuff happening, all these false ministers and false promises, you know, prophets and et cetera, the list is long almost, it seems. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And I'm just going to read this chapter again. Seems like I was just at this chapter not too long ago in Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Again, he's begging them, hey, listen to me. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by the letter as us from us, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. You know, don't be upset. Don't be shaken. You know, this is hopefully God's word, even though it doesn't sound too good and it's maybe a little sad and never, don't be shaken. Remember, the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Again, look at here, it says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away. And we're seeing that, are we not? Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You know, highly exalted idol. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Remember, when you see this stuff happening, remember. And now ye know that what withholding that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity, that word iniquity, wickedness, doth already work. Oh boy, amen to that. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Amen. You just want to say, Lord, come quickly. I don't know how many times I say that. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and all signs and lying wonders. Lying wonders. How many, you know, times you hear these people that say, oh yeah, we had this big movement and all these people were healed and all this and all that. Is that really true? You know, a lot of these people might be healed, but it might be the works of the devil. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of truth, that they might be saved. This is getting serious, you know. They receive not the truth. They rejected. They willingly rejected the truth, that they might be saved. You know, going back to that false profession. You know, they profess themselves to be Christians, but are they really? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Strong delusion. Error. Deceit. Lies. That they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Lord. We just thank you right now as we read your word, as we look upon your word, the spirit of truth, Lord. For you've chosen each one of us here today, Lord, to hear this message. This sanctification of our spirit and to believe truth, because it's the truth that sets us free, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word, the truth in this message, Lord. If there's no truth in this message, Lord, close our ears from hearing. But guide us and lead us into the truth, because it's what sets us free. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! You know what? In this verse here where it says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory, gaining, grasping hold of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I see that word glory, to me, that definition of glory is, you know, the knowledge of who God is. It's like the all-surpassing. We can't even fathom all of God, you know, all about him and who he is and what he is, and just, you know, it's like the all-surpassing Philippians 4:7, the all-surpassing peace, the peace of, you know, we can't even fathom the peace of God, you know. And here the knowledge of his peace and of his joy and of his you know, all the fruits of the Spirit, you know. So when I see this, I'm like, wow. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by the word or by the epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Through grace. Wow. Through grace. Thank you, Father, for grace. You know, we pray and ask for this and that and blessings, you know, but it's grace. His grace, man. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, word and work. Strengthen us, Lord. And I just want to read a couple more verses in chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it with you, as it is with you. You know, that word get established deep down in us, that it's unhindered, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. You know, it's a false faith. These wicked, unreasonable, wicked men. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Thank you, Lord, that we can be established in your word to stand, you know, in the face of evil. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this time. You know, and this is just after, you know, Paul was warning us about these false teachers, you know, false prophets, etc. And I guess I'm just going to read down. Let's see here. Well, let's just start in verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether he... whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Now that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter, of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And I want to stop there. This thorn in the flesh. You know, there's a lot written about this thorn in the flesh. But I want to again remind, you know, to keep us in mind, physical and spiritual. Okay, this thorn, you know, is it to keep him from pride? You know, and he says, let's read down here just a little more. Verse 4. Whoops, not 4, excuse me. Verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord twice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I guess what I wanted to point out here is this word infirmities. You know, he says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities. And when I had that word, infirmity. You know, because he mentions that in verse 9 and 10. You know, most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities. And then down in verse 10, I take pleasure in infirmities. And so I thought about that. Well, what is that really? What's infirmity? And this is from my Bible dictionary, Hebrews, Proverbs 18:14, Greek. Now, weakness or frailty of body. Sickness, Matthew 8:17. Translated weakness in 1 Corinthians 15:43, 2 Corinthians 3:13-4. In Romans 6:19, infirmity of your flesh means the weakness of human nature as respects understanding. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:3, I was with you in weakness, meaning inability to do great things, want of skill in speaking, or of human wisdom. In Hebrews 5:2 and Hebrews 7:28, the high priest is spoken of as compassed with infirmity, which means tendency to sin. Unlike our great high priest in Hebrews 4:15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He denotes all human disabilities. So it's physical, spiritual, you know, in our mind. Also in Romans 8:26 and 2 Corinthians 12:5, 12:9, the Greek nous is rendered sickness or disease. Luke 7:21, etc. There's other things about that where it's denoting more towards sickness or disease, but in Matthew 8:17 contains both words. In Romans 15:1, sins of infirmity are referred to such which are such as attributable to excusable ignorance, or unavoidable surprise, or constitutional weaknesses like diseases. So this word infirmity and infirmities he's saying, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I guess I wanted to point it out because a lot of us have infirmities, spiritual, physical. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's high blood pressure, low blood pressure, some physical ailment. I just thought that was interesting that he was doing that. But, you know, let's go back to Matthew 13 again, where we started. Now I want to read verses 22 and 23. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. You know, so I guess I, you know, thinking about this, it's warning, warning about receiving seed. You know, that seed could be propaganda, indoctrination, you know, false teaching, tickling people's ears to make them feel good. You know, receiving that bad seed, that those tares from these thorns, you know, these false prophets and teachers and the like. You know, the enemy is sowing tares, bad seed in the field, in the church, even out of the church, in these great big auditoriums of 60, 100,000 people. You know, that thorn in your flesh, you know, we got to be aware of. We got to take heed. Amen. And so, Father God, right now, Lord, I just pray for everyone here, Lord. And this come to me just right before I went on to start this message, discernment of good and evil. Lord, I pray that you would bestow upon each person here, Lord, that blessing of discernment of good and evil, Lord. And that they would walk in a way pleasing to you, Lord. That they would walk on that narrow path, Lord, and direct that path by your peace, Lord. That if they have peace, they know they're walking on a narrow path, that the path of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord. But if they come out of that peace, Lord, they could be walking in this worldly way, being led astray by these thorns and these thistles and these tares that have creeped up in their heart, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray for discernment, Lord, to walk pleasing to you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, for your word. Because your word is spirit and it's truth, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of truth. Discernment, Lord. Discernment of the spirit realm and the physical. Because we are physical and we are spiritual, Lord. And so I just praise you, Lord. And I thank you today for strength to overcome the wicked one, that the joy of the Lord, the joy of the word, the truth of the word, because you are the word, Lord, the light of truth. Your word says that you are the light. So, Lord, just pour out your light into our spirit, soul, and body, Lord. Just overwhelm us in awe of the light of your glory, the peace, the joy that will bring us strength, Lord, to overcome the wicked one, to see clearly, Lord. I just ask that you would show us clearly, each one of us clearly, the path that we're on and the path that you want us to take in the future days, Lord. Show us that narrow path, Lord. Light up that path that we can see clearly the way you want us to go, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of your Lord, of the Lord Jesus. The name that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow to, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen and amen. And that's what I have for you today. I hope everybody will have a blessed day and seek the Lord while he's able to be found.
Amen. Today, you know, Pastor, I think about that a lot, about seeking him where he may be found, because of people are so engulfed in what's going on out there that, you know, they're losing time. They're losing the opportunity, you know.
Yeah.
Right now, while we have the sunshine. But I do want to say, boy, I took some good notes, Pastor, while you was talking. So all of you guys, everyone that's watching or listening from all over the world, on our website, you know, I put all the scriptures that he gives. And, you know, took some notes, put some scriptures on there for you guys. To really dig into it. I mean, we're just getting an hour of it, you know, But you'll be able to take this and really, you know, spend time with the Lord and kind of just digest it more, you know, through the website and stuff. And we just thank you guys also for giving and donating and supporting the ministry, because we consider this church, this is church. You know, we are giving and pouring into you guys, and we do our prayer call and the different things that we do throughout the week. You know, is we do consider ourselves a watchman ministry, like this sermon here. You know, in churches today, you won't hear this. You will hardly, you know, it used to be that way when we was kids. You know it, Pastor? We used to hear sermons like this, but it's just changed over the times. But anyway, so we're just very thankful for you, Pastor, and thank you for pouring into us and everything. And all of you guys out there as well, thank you for being a part of our ministry and a part of our lives. And you all know our phone number to text us if you have any questions throughout the week. 731-733-0532. If you would like to email us, it is info@goem.us. That's our website where we post basically everything now. So, but we do appreciate you guys. We love you, and we will see you later. But all of you guys that are on the line, stay with me.